let's be specific to Peru and Bolivia, because they went to Sacsayhuaman, they went to Pumapunku, Tiwanaku in Peru and Bolivia, to the Lake Titicaca area. They did not take into account, when they were at those locations, what the Inca actually believed or what the chroniclers actually believed. They just completely bypassed that as if it's not worth anything. It doesn't make a difference. They were stupid. They were stupid, ignorant, Neanderthalic-brained people. It doesn't matter what they thought. We're technologically advanced now. We have the internet. We have smartphones. We have the correct understanding to put this stuff together. They did not. So there's a blatant disregard for what the ancients thought about the megaliths that they ended up building on top of and occupying. So what they do, rather than reaching into the past to draw out the knowledge of what these peoples thought, instead they just completely speculate, 100% speculation, about an extraterrestrial influence. Now, much of what they present, I believe, is true. And I don't really care that they say extraterrestrial, blah, blah, blah. Fine. But they really make a point to sidestep the Bible, the flood of Noah, and the antediluvian world. And so they want to put all these pieces together, but they don't want to talk about the universal flood. They don't want to talk about the giants, the fallen angels. They don't want to talk about the watchers. They don't want to talk about the Genesis 6 narrative. They want to extrapolate from some of the circumstances and the issues and the evidences that come from the pre-flood world. They want to borrow those and carry them over to the ancient astronaut theory and incorporate them into their theory without giving credit to the rest of the story. That's where they make their fundamental error. I respect David Hatcher Childress. I like him a lot. I don't know him personally. I respect him because he's kind of an intrepid guy, an adventurous guy, going all over the earth and, kind of playing the Indiana Jones role. I respect Brian Forster, the primary researcher dealing with the elongated skulls, especially in Paracas, and he's out of Cusco. I respect him a lot. I've had a limited correspondence with him. But these guys, fundamentally, if you really talk to them, listen to them, they despise the gospel. They can't give it any credit. They don't want to consider the possibility that the Bible is just true, that the Book of Enoch is giving a true and honest account of what happened. They don't want to accept that. It's not even within the realm of possibility for them. So they go over to the aliens. And I would say that they've got maybe 50% of the picture correct in postulating that there's no way that human beings, mere human beings, could have done this or that or the other, or that this had to be high technology and blah, blah, blah. Sure, we agree. But I think that it's way easier to prove, way more rational, that the narrative of the Bible is actually true. You can't sidestep the flood of Noah, because everybody believed in the flood of Noah. I don't care if Richard Dawkins doesn't believe it happened. What does that matter to me? Everybody before him did. Everybody that mattered in the ancient world believed in a universal flood, and or at least a localized flood, that they could only extrapolate that it happened on a universal level, because they only have proof that it happened in a localized area, the area that concerns them. Even the Inca knew that. And so pushing that away, making that not part of the issue, is very unscientific. Let me say this about the Antichrist. First and foremost, I do believe that there will be a final Antichrist that will be a person who comes as a Messiah. I believe he will be received by the Jews as their prophesied Messiah. I believe he will be received by the Muslims as their Mahdi. I believe he will be received by the Hindus as whoever their prophesied figurehead is that is supposed to return, because almost every major religion has a prophesied figure that will or can return. I think he's going to fulfill that position for many of the religions out there, for many of the religious people out there, and consolidate all of those religions together, including Christianity. Now, it is important to understand that throughout history, historically, the popes of Rome have been considered to be the primary figureheads. Every pope of Rome has been viewed as an antichrist. And so I believe that as long as there's a pope in Rome, we already have an antichrist, because antichrist means in place of. And the vicar of Christ literally means in place of Christ. So we have had an antichrist present and an antichrist system present since the conception of Roman Catholicism under Constantine. So it's important for people to understand that. I believe there will be a final antichrist, and this individual is going to be unique. And he's going to be unique because of the authority that he will have. That's one of the reasons why he's going to be unique. The antichrist is described in the Book of Revelations of having the all human authority, because the 10 kings give him their authority, which is interesting because it's God who entices them to do that. But then also the dragon, Satan, gives him his authority. So here we're going to have a person in whom all of man's authority and the devil's authority is going to be consolidated. That is a phenomenon that I think has not yet happened and is going to happen and will be unique to this individual. Now, I reject the idea that the Antichrist is going to be a mere political figure, such as the Left Behind series portrays him, and the other Christian movies that have portrayed the end times. The Antichrist is just some demonically infused figurehead. I don't believe he's just going to be a man possessed by the devil. I don't believe he will be fully human. I believe that the best way to understand the Antichrist is to take the person of Jesus Christ and flip it upside down. I believe that the Antichrist is coming on the clouds and every eye will see him. I believe that every knee will be forced to bow to him, except for those of us who would rather die. But those who choose not to die will be forced to bow. Every tongue will be forced to confess. The Antichrist is the man. I believe he's only going to be part human. He has to be part human for a number of reasons. Is the man that the Luciferian priesthood is going to attempt to enthrone on that seat which belongs to the Son of Man. And that it has to be that way. And this, I won't go deep down this rabbit hole, but I believe that the human component is essential in all of this, because Jesus became one of us. He knew our every weakness. He never sinned, but he wore our flesh. He knew our every trial. And he did that for a number of reasons. Obviously, the most obvious is to redeem us. But the Antichrist has to be human enough to possess human authority. I won't go into human authority right now and why it's so crucial to understanding everything, but the Antichrist has to be human enough to possess human authority to occupy that throne. However, he won't be fully human, in my opinion. Will he be the seed of Satan himself? I don't know. It's a possibility. I do know that he will have the devil's authority. He will have Satan's authority. That's clear in Scripture. And he will have the authority, the consolidated human authority on earth. So outside of those things, I don't know much else about this figure. that is coming. Except for that, he's not going to like Christians very much.